The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 52, texts number 13, 14, and 15, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 12th, 2012, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Alakshamanau Vipuna Sa Anugena Yadu Utamau Svaparam Puna Ayatau Samudra Parikam Nripa Alakshamana Rupuna Tanugena Yaduttamau Svaparang Punar Ayatau Samudra Parikhang Nripa Alakshamana Rupuna Anugena yaduttamau Svaparang punar ayatau Samudra parikhang nripa Alakshamanau Not being seen Nripuna By their enemy Sa Together. Anugena with his followers. Yadu of the Yadus. Utamau the two most excellent. Svaparam to their own city Dwarka. Puna again. Ayatau they went. Samudra, the ocean, Padikam, having as its protective moat, Nripa, O King. There's actually a purport for text 15, so we'll read up to text 15 today. Translation, unseen by their opponent or his followers, O King. Those two most exalted Yadus returned to the city of Dwarka, which had the ocean as a protective moat. Text 14. Sopi dagdhaviti mrisha munvano bala keshavau balam akrishnasa mahan magadhan magado yoyo. Jarasandha, moreover, mistakenly thought that Balaram and Keshava had burned to death in the fire. Thus he withdrew his vast military force and returned to the Magadha kingdom. Text 15. Anarata dipita shriman raivato ravating stutam brahmanachodita pradad balayeti puroditam. As ordered by Lord Brahma, Raivata, the opulent ruler of Anarata, gave Lord Balaram his daughter Raivati in marriage. This has already been discussed. Purport. The topic of Lord Krishna's marriage to Rukmini will now be discussed. By way of introduction, a brief mention is made of his brother Baladev's marriage. This marriage was alluded to in the 9th canto of the Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, texts 33 through 36. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunidam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sajaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchanda Deshatarine. So the amazing pastimes of Krishna, the Achimsya Leela, inconceivably nectarian pastimes of Krishna just keep rolling on. To attract us to come and be with him once again. Unfortunately, we are not so attracted at the present moment to the pastimes of Krishna. We are too much attracted by the pastimes of this material world. This is foolishness. Because there's no comparison between the pastimes of Krishna and any other pastime. There's no comparison. Every subtle aspect of Krishna's qualities, his names, his forms, his activities are full of the most dazzling splendor. You won't find that in the so-called pastimes of this material world. This is described in Brahma Samhita. Ananda chinmaya rasatmatyamanasu
ya praninam pratipalam smaratam upecha lilayatena bhuvanani jayajashram govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, whose glories ever triumphantly dominate the mundane world by the activities of his transcendental pastimes, which are reflected in the minds of recollecting souls. He is reflected in the minds of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever blissful cognitive rasa. So actually, Krishna's pastimes predominate everything. There's no comparison to Krishna's pastimes. For those of us who aren't totally absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, who are sidetracked by the activities of this material world, it is simply due to our contamination. Because Krishna's pastimes dominate everything. We think the pastimes of the material world are so significant, but it's like you're walking down the street and there's some anthill there, you see, on the side of the road. And if you were an ant inside that anthill, you would consider that the pastimes of the anthill pastimes to be the all in all, you see. But for us, for a human being, it's just some anthill. It's not very significant, is it? So actually, all the pastimes of this material world, they're just anthill pastimes. They're not very significant. In the school, we have to study the history, you see. It's like growing up in the U.S., American history. Yes, the great, glorious American history, how we rebelled against the Britishers. And then I moved to Texas when I was 10. Then we had to study Texas history, how we rebelled against the Mexicans. You see, and got a country called Texas, which later joined the U.S. So we study all these different things, like they're so important. Actually, my mother was a school teacher, and she took training in college. She had a certified school teacher. So after us kids, we moved to Texas, and after us kids grew up, and we, you know, then she decided to go back to be a school teacher again. But to teach any subject matter, she had to study Texas history. That's it. Even though she wasn't teaching Texas history, to be certified as a teacher in the state of Texas, she had to study Texas history. You see. We consider these pastimes to be so glorious. You see. But actually, it's not very glorious. Just like in Texas, they're so proud how they defeated the Mexicans, the Mexican army, but actually, they did it in a completely way which is against the Chatria codes. The Mexican army, they were taking their siesta after lunch, and that's when they attacked, when they were all sleeping. You see? So they take these pastimes to be so significant, but they're just garbage. They're simply garbage. All the pastimes of this material world, you see? The news media is full of it every day. The internet, the newspapers, the magazines, it's just nothing but garbage. Absolute garbage. Krishna's pastimes, that's where the real nectar is going on. And the pastimes of his pure devotees, you see. That's where the real nectar is going on. Ebeyas Gushuk Tribhuvana. We sing every morning to Srila Prabhupada. Your glories are spread all over the three worlds, you see. This is what the newspapers should be filled up with. They take these mundane pastimes so dearly. Prabhupada gives a story and to illustrate this point. Some gentleman told him the story, so he told us the story. That one time in Sheffield, this is in England, a Christian preacher came to the coal mining town to convert all the coal miners to become Christians. So he said, "You have to accept Jesus, or you go to hell. You have to accept Jesus." They said, "Well, who's Jesus? Is he one of the workers?" They said, "What is his number? Think of it as one of the workers in the mine. You accept Jesus as Lord. Well, what is his number?" they asked. So the preacher could see he had quite a hurdle to overcome to educate these miners in Christianity. They said, "What is his number?" And he said, "If you don't accept Jesus, you'll go to hell." And they said, "Well, what is hell?" So the preacher said, "Well, it's very dark, it's very damp, there's no fresh air to breathe." They thought, "No big deal, we go to hell every day in the mine, what's the problem?" So the preacher was thinking, "What can I do to convert these miners to become Christians?" They asked, "What is Jesus' number? Hell doesn't scare them. They're used to it. They live in hell every day." But then he thought, "Oh, but there's no newspapers." And they said, "Oh, horrible. Yes, we will accept Jesus. Don't take away our newspapers." And Papa said how they take the newspaper, they keep it here on the chest. You know, "Oh, it's very dear, the newspaper." So now they're going to more digital thing. Now it's the online news. But it's the same principle. You get on the internet and see the latest news, you know, CNN or whatever. You know, BBC, get in there and see what's going on. But this is very low class. It's mundane news, you see. Prabhupada also gives a story of one politician. He came to Navadvip. He heard that they had the Gaudiya Math had a daily newspaper, Nadia Prakash. Every day, a daily newspaper, spiritual news. He was thinking, "How is it possible you can have a daily newspaper about spiritual life? I mean, there's not that much to spiritual life. How are you going to have a daily newspaper about spiritual life?" Srila Bhakti Sarasvati Thakur described that that there is the vast spiritual world, there's unlimited planet, infinite planet. And in one corner of that spiritual world, there's the material world. Also with so many universes. And in each universe, there's so many planets. And on one planet, it's like the planet Earth, there are so many countries. And in every country there are so many cities. And in each city there are so many newspapers. So if in one little tiny speck of the vast unlimited creation of God, in one little teeny weeny mustard seed speck there can be so many newspapers. And how much news there can be for the vast kingdom of God. In that little speck, there can be so many newspapers. There's the morning edition, the evening edition. So many newspapers in that one little tiny speck of the total creation. What we can say about the vast spiritual world? So he said, we can produce a newspaper at every minute. So a politician was impressed by his answer. He said, so, we have to develop this taste for Krishna Katha. Machchita mangita prana bodhiyantak praspadam katayantascha mamnityam tashandacha ramantacha. Krishna says, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So instead of being carried away by the latest soccer game or the latest baseball game or the latest football game or the latest political rally, is he? The devotee doesn't care. He just wants to hear about how Krishna lived in Govardhan Hill. How Krishna is dancing with the gopis. How Krishna is marrying Rukmini. He wants to hear all these amazing pastimes. These pastimes have mystical power. They have mystical potency, achintya shakti. By Lila Smaranam, by meditating on these transcendental pastimes, in due course of time, as one progresses in Krishna consciousness, one will actually see, Prabhupada explains in the Narada Bhakti Sutra purport, one reaches the stage which is called the Asakti stage, which is the preliminary stage of pure love of God, then you will actually see all these pastimes manifested in your heart. That's it. So, by meditating on these pastimes now in our neophyte stage, we're battling it out at different low levels like anartha nivritti. By turning our attention now to the name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, and the pastimes of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna. See, by turning our attention, even by force, if there's no attraction, even just saying, okay, mind, this is my discipline. I'm going to think about Krishna's pastimes. I'm going to meditate on his name. You see, by doing this as a discipline, there are the mystical power of the pastimes, the names, the qualities, these will actually act as a, like an airplane, which will carry one to that transcendental existence beyond the three modes of material nature. There's even a verse like that in the Bhagavatam, carried by the wings of the Vedas. So, these pastimes, the names, the qualities, these are a transcendental airplane, vimana, divya vimana, divine airplane. will carry one to the transcendental abode of the Lord. So to regularly hear and to study the teachings and the pastimes, the qualities of Krishna is very, very essential. We have to learn how to do this. Tashamticha Ramanticha. How to become transcendentally enlivened, hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna. We can discuss so many things. Why don't we talk about Krishna? If you meet some devotee, you can say, Prabhu, what have you realized about Krishna today? You see? In this way, we should share our realizations. What is your latest realization about Krishna? You see? Well, I have been thinking about Krishna lately. You see, it shouldn't be like that. We should always, Krishna should be the foremost thought in our mind every day. How can I please Krishna? What can I do to please Krishna today? Can I cook him a nice offering, a very special offering? Can I sing very sweetly the kirtan? You see? What can I do for my Krishna today? You see? How can I please him today? Can I really try to absorb myself very, very devotedly and concentratedly on this japa mantra, yajna that I do every day? You see? Let me, every day we should try to do very, very nice absorption in Krishna consciousness. And as it is said, practice makes perfect. If every day you try to purely absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness, you make a concerted effort. Today I want to try as best as I possibly can to absorb myself purely in Krishna consciousness at every minute. By always thinking, speaking, and acting in all times, places, and circumstances in a way that will be pleasing to my Lord and to my spiritual master and to Srila Prabhupada. You see? If we think in this way and we consciously cultivate our own consciousness in this way, and we do it on a daily basis, day after day, week after week, year after year, the result will be that one becomes very, very absorbed in Krishna consciousness, deeply absorbed in transcendental death. It goes beyond all the sufferings of material existence. It's just a matter of desire. One has to desire pure love of God. You see? That's the goal of this process, to become a pure devotee. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What does Krishna consciousness mean? The real meaning of Krishna consciousness is pure bhakti. That's the real meaning of Krishna consciousness. That I only desire is to please Krishna. I have no other desires other than pleasing Krishna. So are there any questions? Okay. How do you use the news for preaching? The news, it can definitely be used for preaching. There's no prohibition against ordinary news. It's described in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So one can have a little awareness of news. It's like, you know, like for example, once a week you could check out the news or something like that, just so you know what's going on, because you can use it for preaching. So there's nothing wrong with being aware of what's going on in the material world. In fact, Prabhupada himself, in his early Back to Godhead magazines, wrote BTG articles based on the news. Things he had read in the news. So it's a little bit of, one can read the news a little bit to know what's going on and use it for preaching. But if one is bored and you read the news because you're bored, then it's, you know, for something to do, let me read the news, this is something to kill my time, then you're in bad shape. Well, I feel really bored, I'll just, you know, get on the internet and surf CNN and see what's going on because I'm bored and have nothing else to do. No, that's not good. Whenever we have time, we should read Prabhupada's books. And sometimes you can check out the news for the sake of preaching or even for traveling. It's good to know there's a war breaking out. Before I get on an international flight, I sometimes will look at the news just to see what's happening. Is there a war breaking out? Is some big storm that might cancel my flight? A hurricane? You know, it's good to know. So some awareness is good. For preaching, we do have to be a little aware of what's going on. But the point is, we shouldn't absorb ourselves in it. And that my pastime is to study the news, read the news every day. That's my pastime. Because actually, Krishna consciousness is more exciting. To practice Krishna consciousness is more exciting than anything you can read in the news. In other words, why read the news when you can be the news? Go out and preach, distribute books, make devotees, and you are the news. You see, you're bigger news than anything that they report in the so-called news media. You know, sing a wonderful kirtan, you see. That's bigger news than anything he's reported on CNN. Offer a wonderful arti, or cook a wonderful offering. That's bigger news than anything. This is what there should be in the news. You know? That's what should be in the news. Should be able to go to CNN and see, well, you know, this devotee led a wonderful kirtan at the Mauritius Phoenix Temple this morning. That should be on the news. You see? So many books were distributed yesterday. In this way, this should be the news media. What's happening in Mayapur? What's happening in that should be the real news. How can we destroy the bad habits of the mind, thinking of material activities? You don't have to destroy the bad habits. Just the bad habits go away automatically. Just start thinking about Krishna more and more, you see. Just become more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and then all the bad things will automatically go away. There's so many amazing, amazing pastimes. I mean, they're just really amazing. Just like that, what is that one given in the Vidagdha Madhava by Rupa Goswami? Let's see, how does that go? Smeran bangi trayaparachitam sachivishtir navishtim vangshi nishta kishalayam ujvalam trinakena govan jakam haritona mitaha kesti kripaka kante ma prakshishta vayadi sake bandhu stangasi rangaha. Now that's interesting news. That's really interesting news. As reported by the Rupa Goswami news media, one gopi. She is warning her gopi girlfriend. She says, my dear gopi girlfriend, whatever you do, if you have any attachment, society, friendship, and love in this world, then don't you dare go down to Keshigat tonight in the full moon night of the Sharad season. Don't you dare go down. Because if you go there, you will see this boy named Govindam. He's placing his flute to his lips, which are like newly blossomed twigs. He's standing there with his threefold bending form, which is shining very, very brightly in the moonlight. So my dear girlfriend, please do not go there. Don't go, don't go, don't go. So what did that gopi do? Immediately she made a beeline for Keshika. So this is news, you see. This is news. There's no pastimes like this in the material world. Yeah. If you want news, read Prabhupada's books. Is it an offense to preach to a faithless person? Well, If your preaching causes people to make offense, then you're on the wrong track. But actually, everyone's faithless. And we've been ordered to preach to everyone. So you have to preach in such a way that you don't turn on their offensive nature. It's like our book distributors. Those are full-time book distributors. They're very expert. They can approach anybody, and they have a very cool, suave way of approaching people. So everyone feels, almost everyone feels happy. Oh, this person's really nice. So a preacher has to be very flexible to make people really feel good, so they're not rude or anything like that. So it's a matter of expertise. That's all. Prabhupada could preach to a demon and tell him he was a demon, and the person would love it. Say, yes, you're right. So the point is, we have to just become very expert at preaching according to time, place, and circumstance, that people actually like to hear from us and learn from us. The secret is this: if you want somebody to hear from you, they have to like you. That's the first thing. And if they're going to like you, they have to be convinced that you like them. So really, that's in preaching. The first thing is, you have to the people have to feel, this person likes me, he really loves me, he really cares about me. That's the first thing in preaching. You have to come across as a loving, caring, compassionate, friendly person. And if people feel that this person, he has love, he loves me, then they're willing to hear, you see. And then all their defenses are put aside, they're willing to hear. So in preaching, you have to come across as a very likable person by being a person who truly likes the people that you're preaching to. And that way you can preach to anybody. They have to like you. You have to like them. And then you can preach to anybody. Will there be a spiritual master more powerful than Srila Prabhupada in the years to come? None of us would ever think like them. But it's interesting, Prabhupada ordered us to become more powerful than he. His order was, he said, I have done 10 times more than my Guru Maharaj, now you must do 10 times more than me. Prabhupada ordered us, he said, I am Indian, you are American, therefore you must accomplish more than me. Prabhupada ordered us to become more powerful. But the disciple, he never thinks, I've accomplished anything. He thinks, whatever I've done, it is all by the mercy of my spiritual man. That's a fact. So actually, none of us can ever be more powerful than Prabhupada, because whatever we accomplish is only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So it's not possible to be more powerful than Prabhupada. But Prabhupada wants us to have more results than he had. He had 10,000. Actually, it was about 5,000 initiated disciples, but 10,000 people was the number Prabhupada gave. That was the people who were actually following, I guess. Let's say Prabhupada has 10,000 followers, then his order would be, okay, I want each of my disciples then to have 100,000 followers. You see, that'd be 10 times. And then the thing has to keep going to the next generation. Then those gurus, they would tell their disciples, you do 10 times more than me. That means those disciples have to have 1,000,000 followers each. You see? In this way, this movement should expand. And actually, Prabhupada told us in Mayapur, he said, now we are 10,000. And then we will grow to 100,000. Then we will go to 1,000,000. He said, then we will go to 10,000,000. He said, there will be no scarcity of acharyas. Prabhupada was talking about 10 million acharyas, and the Ritviks say only one allowed, sorry. Prabhupada said, I want 10 million acharyas. That was Prabhupada's program. Not this stupid Ritvik nonsense, only one acharya for the next 10,000 years. Prabhupada wanted 10 million empowered preachers who could make a revolution on this planet. A devotee who takes sannyas seems more advanced than one who does not take sannyas. Well, that depends on how Krishna conscious he is. I mentioned the other day, I was advised to take sannyas by one of my sannyasi godbrothers. But when I was giving the blessings to, when I was first, the GVC said I could initiate disciples. They said, if you want you to take guidance from one of your sannyasi, they assigned me actually a sannyasi GVC godbrother to take guidance from. As I, you know, being a guru is quite a challenging service, so they wanted me to take guidance from one of my more experienced godbrothers. So I've always, he's been a mentor for me for many years now, and I have some questions. So I asked him that so-and-so Maharaj said that I should take sannyas. I'm traveling and preaching all over the world with my wife, with the preaching team, so what should we do? He said, actually, you're better than a sannyas, he told me. You shouldn't take sannyas, you're better than a sannyas. So, according to my GBC mentor, it's not that sannyas makes you more advanced necessarily. You see. That was his instruction to me. You're better than sannyas. Of course, I shouldn't think that way about myself. I should think I'm nothing, but I'm just trying to serve the order of my spiritual master. Young devotees like to practice sports to stay in good health. Should they stop? I would advise them to come to a higher level of sports. I think sporting is great. I advise them to come to a higher level ball game. Little kids, we used to play marbles, right? But do we still play, when the adults play marbles? Any adults play mum? So you move to higher level sports. So I would advise that generally sports is a ball game, right? Who controls the ball, right? Whether it's soccer, baseball, football, basketball, whoever controls the ball the best, they win. So why not really go to a high-level ball game, a really, really big ball, you see? The result of the game is going to change history, you see? These little ball games, they don't have any impact on history. Why not play a ball game that's going to impact the history of this universe, you see? That ball game is a lot more exciting, you see. What is the ball I'm talking about? The planet Earth. There's two teams right now competing to control the ball. The demons and the devotees, you see. So you want to play ball, come and play ball with the big boys, not the little kids. Little kids play basketball, soccer, football, volleyball, this ball, that. This is for little kids, you see. I invite you to come play ball with the big boys, you see. You see. Those of us who are trying to take over this planet for Prabhupada, you see. The Sankirtan devotees. They're playing ball 24 hours a day. I remember when I was in high school, we used to go to the football games. There was one cheer called, "Get that ball. Get that ball. Get that ball." We'd all be chanting to our football players, "Get that ball. Get that ball." You see. So now we're still chanting, "Get that ball. You see. Get that planet Earth under the control of Vaishnavs." You see. That is our sport. See, want to play sports? Come on. Don't play little kids' sports. Play big boy sports. Come and play with the big boys. Sankirtan, Yajna Ki Jai. Take some books, go out and conquer the world for Prabhupada. That is the real sports. You get plenty of good exercise, good sunshine, fresh air. Don't waste your time. Actually, Prabhupada said that sporting is a violation of the regulated principles. Gambling includes frivolous sports. No. Maybe I should may require that now when I give diksha. No gambling and no frivolous sports. Prabhupada actually said that. No frivolous sports. It's a fact. You can look in the books. I personally can't stand it. And I see devotees. We didn't do it when Prabhupada was here, I guarantee you. But now on the basis of the philosophy known as when the cats obey, the mice will play. Sporting has appeared all over ISKCON. One temple even has I don't know if you have one here, a volleyball net. I mean, it's just a royal waste of time. For little kids, exercise, maybe. But what better exercise than chanting and dancing in ecstasy? And where do you get more benefit, playing volleyball or chanting and dancing Hare Krishna? I mean, I know I am fighting an uphill battle here in our movement now because, I mean, it's incredible how much sports have become ingrained in the nouveau ISKCON culture after Prabhupada's disappearance. I'm shocked and abhorred by it. I'm disgusted by it. To be honest. But I don't want to get too heavy because then I'll be banned from the temples. I don't campaign against it, but I was asked, so I have to be honest. And I'm supposed to be a Brahmana. Prabhupada gave me Brahman initiation, so I was asked, so I gave the answer. Okay, how Bhagavatam can contribute to the life of a Vaishnava devotee? Is that what it says? The handwriting is a little obscure, but is that the question? How Bhagavatam can contribute to the life of a Vaishnava devotee? Actually, Bhagavatam is our life. Without Bhagavatam, we are dead. Bhagavatam is our life. Our life is Bhagavatam. The spiritual master is described as person Bhagavatam, and every devotee is meant to become a person Bhagavatam, a living manifestation of the Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam, it contributes to the life, but more than that, the Bhagavatam is the life and soul of the Vaishnavas. Can you please explain briefly the content and the importance teachings of the Bhagavatam? Were you at my lecture the other night on the Bhagavatam? The other night I gave a lecture here at the temple on the Bhagavatam. Yeah. The answer was given then, and for a whole hour I answered it then. But Bhagavatam means the glories of Krishna and his pure devotees, in a nutshell. Jesus Christ suffered a lot when he was in the material world. Even Lord Chaitanya suffered a lot in the material world. Why did they accept to suffer so much? Actually, these devotees don't really suffer. It's apparent suffering only. One who is completely realized in Krishna consciousness is tasting the sweetest ecstasy of loving reciprocation with the Supreme Lord at every minute, with his every thought, word, and deed. He may appear to be suffering from a material viewpoint, but actually his suffering is simply part of his transcendental bliss. If Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava, why don't we worship Shiva? Actually, we're worshiping Shiva constantly by serving, we all Vaishnavas, all the great Vaishnava acharyas are worshipped. By following the instructions in Prabhupada's books, we're doing the best worship of all the great acharyas, automatically. We're worshipping Shiva at every minute by following Prabhupada's instructions. Actually, I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj told us that in Berry Place, temple, the first temple in London, Prabhupada had the devotees make an asana for Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva was coming to hear the kirtans. So Lord Shiva is very much appreciates the Sankirtan movement. So if you want to worship Lord Shiva very nicely, then sing and dance Hare Krishna in ecstasy and he will come to witness your kirtan if you really get into it very, very with deep, deep devotion. Lord Shiva will be attracted to come and check out your kirtan. Okay, everybody says that no one is perfect. That's an interesting statement, because that statement implies that, you know, if I say nobody is perfect, then I'm presenting myself as someone with perfect knowledge. So this is a contradiction. This is one of these contradictory, ridiculous statements. Nobody is perfect. Well, obviously, then you aren't. If your statement is true, then you're not qualified to judge who's perfect and who isn't. Okay? How can we tell people that they can be perfect and perfecting their life by reading the Bhagavad Gita? Well, I can tell you this. If you become perfect, then they'll be convinced. They can become perfect. If you want to convince them that by reading Bhagavad Gita they can become perfect, you become perfect. And then they see you, they'll know it's possible. If someone surrenders and fully dedicates their life to Krishna, is it absolutely necessary for them to remember Krishna at the time of death to go Krishna? Well, if someone is fully dedicated to Krishna, they will automatically think of Krishna. It's no question of if. A person who is fully dedicated to Krishna is always thinking of Krishna at every minute, naturally, spontaneously. And if they're not thinking of Krishna at the time, that means they weren't fully surrendered to Krishna in their life.
They're remembering Krishna.
Huh?
If they are surrendered and remembering Krishna, they are already with Krishna. Why do they have to wait for the death?
They're already what?
They're already with Krishna. Why do they?
They're already with Krishna? Yeah. Yeah, actually, there's one of those, of course, they're all wonderful, but there's one purport in the Bhagavad Gita where it says the Mahatma desire. They don't even desire to go to the spiritual world. All they desire is Krishna's association. So you think, wow, I thought you had to go back to the spiritual world to associate with Krishna. But actually, Prabhupada very clearly explains that you don't have to go back to the spiritual world to associate with Krishna, because Krishna is here also. You can have personal, pure, intimate, loving reciprocation with Krishna at every minute. You don't have to wait to go back to Godhead. You can do it now. It's a matter of your... One last question now. What is more important for a disciple, to serve Guru and Krishna, or to serve Krishna's his or her family members? Well, I can tell you this. If you don't serve Guru and Krishna, you'll never properly serve your family members. If you're not surrendered to Guru and Krishna, you are a disservice to your family members. And by being surrendered to Guru and Krishna, you automatically render the best service to your family members. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much. We have some special treat here, Radhadamodar Mahaprasad. Thank you very much. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.